As we walk into the church under normal circumstances, we dip our finger into the holy water fonts and we make the sign of the cross. COVID has prevented that from happening, though this weekend I was going to put the holy water out. But as things turned out in Victoria, I, like some of the disciples in tonight's gospel, though some hesitated. And so I decided not to, but this weekend was going to be the weekend that I was going to put holy water back out for us, and those who wish to use it may. Most people are being extremely sensible and look after themselves in that regard. We then come into the church and we genuflect, a sign of reverence to the Blessed Sacrament and also a reverence to the altar. And then I walk in and then I say, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. We then go into the scriptures after the penitential rite, and I say to you a reading from the Holy Gospel, and tonight it's Matthew. And you all go, glory to you, O Lord. Which is, may the word of God be in my mind, be on my lips, and in my heart. So by the time we get to hear my homily, you have made the sign of the cross four times. Five times, actually, except there's no holy water there at the moment, although some people might be using sanitizer. May the Lord cleanse my mind and sanitize my lips and purify my heart. That may be written into the ritual of the church in due course, I don't know. But for Catholics, the sign of the cross unites us, not just symbolically, but really, with the Trinity, our understanding of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It is an integral part of demonstrating personally and publicly who we are as a believing people with our tradition. There are many traditions that highlight who we are as a people, but the sign of the cross is by far the most obvious for Catholics. The gospel that you've heard today from Matthew, the closing verses from Matthew's gospel, is probably the most Trinitarian mention in all of the scriptures. The theology and the spirituality of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in a Trinitarian form is only mentioned in today's gospel at the very end. Matthew's gospel, written about 80 to 85 AD, so 50-55 years after Jesus died, to a mainly Jewish Christian community who Matthew was writing to. So within about 50 years, the people understood to some degree what we mean by a triune, or the three persons, one essence in the God, our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So much so that the formula for baptism is given to us there. That's and about 50 years after Jesus' death and resurrection. Now, if I go through the scriptures, and I did, with a bit of help, Jesus refers to his Father as Father 100 plus times. And that's just in John's Gospel. 100 plus times. So the term Father and the relationship between Jesus as the Son is constant. The Holy Spirit, or the Spirit, is mentioned 93 times. So by the time these scriptures were written, which is in 50 to 80 years after Jesus' death, the understanding of a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, was well and truly in place, though it was not down in a dogmatic sense or in a very clear theological sense. It wasn't until 325 that the church was able to say through our creed, through our profession of faith, clearly what it is that we understand and believe in when we talk about the Holy Trinity. That was 325. Now, and even to this day, understanding the Trinity has been one of the issues that has kept the Orthodox Church separated from the Catholic Church. And it's a little phrase about how the Holy Spirit works in there. It does not question the presence of the Holy Spirit in our Trinitarian God. It's where the how the Holy Spirit moves within that the presence of God. I'm not going to go into that. That's way too complicated. But I say that to reassure you that if you don't quite understand the mystery of the Trinity, don't feel afraid. Don't feel alone in that. The mystery, the bigness of God, to put it simplistically, is well beyond our grasp. And so we use language and we use images and we use symbols to help us get ourselves into the mystery of God. And the sign of the cross is one of those elements that we use to identify ourselves with the mystery of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please don't forget that every time you make the sign of the cross. When we're teaching the children, when they're very little, to make the sign of the cross, it takes us some time before they learn to slow it down. A lot of people, when they make the sign of the cross, it's like shooing flies. But with the little ones, and they'll be standing there or sitting there, and I'll say, this is how we make the sign of the cross, and they do it exactly mirror for mirror for what I'm doing, which means I've got to explain it very carefully. And this is when I'm talking to little children, because so when I go in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, their little hands go right over to that side as well, but they're facing me, so they go Father, Son, Holy Spirit, which means that's the Orthodox sign of the cross. The Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, they go Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They go right, left, we go left, right. Whether you knew that or not, I'm not sure. So even in the way that we symbolise and live out the symbol practically of understanding the Trinity, there are some differences, but the essence is exactly the same. Exactly the same. And we should find that reassuring. We should not let the movement of a symbol separate us, because everything to do with the Trinity demonstrates the unity. One God. Three elements, if you like. Three faces of God. Everybody understands what a Father is. Everybody understands how a Son works, what a Son is. And the most we can grasp with the Spirit is that we know that the Spirit is not matter. It is not solid. That's what we know. So therefore the Spirit is like a breath that moves through our life. And I mentioned last week at Pentecost, it is like the breath, the loving and warm breath of God breathing on the Son, and the Son breathing back to the Father. And then the Son breathing on us, the commissioning in today's gospel. That is the movement of the Spirit. We feel the effects of the Spirit. We see the effects of the Spirit, but we do not see the Spirit. It must have been a very powerful experience for first members of the church who got to witness the breath of Jesus. We witness, in a sense, only by our life. It's what we do when we call on God to be present and active and give us his breath in our life. We either do something productive with it or we do something destructive with it. And that's a real shame. And in the Western world at the moment, I think that destruction is probably coming through as people try to remove the mystery of God from society and make it more and more secular. And I've never quite understood that, for example, in Parliament. Every now and then there's a petition put forward to stop saying the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, at the beginning of every parliamentary session. If you don't want to pray it, don't pray it. But it is discriminatory to stop those who want to pray it from praying it. As I look at it, if it means nothing to you, then don't pray it. Simple as that. But for us who strive for every opportunity to demonstrate the Father, Son and Holy Spirit in our life, don't take away what little we have. Because it'll be a little bit like Salman Rushdie. Some of you will know of him and the author and the issues that he had with the Islamic community. He used to say that when I was young, I was religious in an unquestioning way. But now that I'm not, and he would say, now that I'm not religious, I am very conscious, though, of the place where God was. If we take God out of our life, even out of our society, if we take God out, it will be filled with something, and that will be more than regret. It will be usually filled with someone's power. So at this time, as things unfold in the Western world and in our nation, I just ask that remember that you are a Christian, remember that you are a Catholic. Every time you make the sign of the cross, it is a sign to yourself, it is a sign to others around you, and it is a sign to those who do not believe that God is present and active in your life. You believe in this God whose face you've never ever seen. You believe in this God who, without his presence, your life would have no meaning. It is the mystery of the bigness of God that gives our life its meaning and its purpose. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.